WeWork pulls the plug on its IPO.
They know public investors didn't like what they saw when they went out meeting them over the last few weeks and months. So the question is, what do public investors want? What will they buy? What is this company going to look like? And there's a lot of that story to be written now.
Plus, after a volatile third quarter for U.S. stocks, we'll take a look at what comes next. It's Monday, September 30th. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the Senate will hold a trial if the House approves articles of impeachment for President Trump. Speaking on CNBC on Monday, McConnell said, according to Senate rules, he'd, quote, have no choice but to take it up. The House announced last week that it would begin an impeachment inquiry focusing on allegations that Trump sought to use the powers of his office to push Ukraine to investigate Democratic rival Joe Biden. The Wall Street Journal's Natalie Andrews explains a potential Senate trial is still several steps away.
Articles of impeachment would need to pass the House on a majority vote. And we do know that the majority of House Democrats support an impeachment inquiry, but not all of them are on the record saying they would support actually voting to impeach the president. Should the House, however, pass articles of impeachment, that essentially serves as an indictment. That's one way to think of it, which kind of helps in this process. So the House can indict. And so the articles of impeachment would move to the Senate. Mitch McConnell has a few choices. He can move to dismiss them. That's happened in the past. He could refer it to committee. So he could say that he's referring the articles of impeachment to the committee, or he could do a trial of some sort of structure that they determine.
House committees have subpoenaed Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, for documents related to Ukraine. Officials say Secretary of State Mike Pompeo listened in on the call between President Trump and his Ukrainian counterpart that's at the center of the inquiry. The House hasn't yet set a timetable for the impeachment inquiry. New York Congressman Christopher Collins resigned on Monday ahead of his expected guilty plea Tuesday to federal charges related to an insider trading case. It wasn't made clear what charge Collins would plead guilty to. Earlier this month, Collins pleaded not guilty to a revised set of insider trading charges, including conspiracy to commit securities fraud. Prosecutors accused him of passing a confidential tip to his son, Cameron Collins, so his son could sell shares of an Australian biotechnology company before it was made public that their drug trial had failed. Congressman Collins was an early supporter of President Trump during the 2016 campaign. And another Republican, Texas Representative Mac Thornberry, announced he'll be retiring at the end of his term, joining a growing list of House Republicans who are leaving Congress. As the top Republican on the House Armed Services Committee, Thornberry sometimes objected to President Trump's foreign policy. Last year, he joined Democrats to push back against Trump's proposed withdrawal of U.S. forces from Syria. Thornberry also opposed the president moving money from military projects to fund the border wall, but he didn't support a House resolution objecting to the president doing so. Thornberry's district is among the most Republican in the country and is expected to stay that way in the 2020 election. College athletes in California will be able to earn endorsement and sponsorship money starting in 2023. California Governor Gavin Newsom signed a bill into law today that gives student athletes at public as well as private colleges and universities in the state the right to receive money for the use of their name, image, or likeness. In a statement issued on Monday, the National Collegiate Athletic Association criticized the state for going it alone with the bill, but did not directly repeat its earlier threats of fighting the decision in court and possibly barring California colleges from competitions. The NCAA wanted the state to hold off on passing legislation because it plans to release its own report on name, image, and likeness issues in October. The third quarter has been a volatile period for U.S. stocks, which ended the day up on Monday. The S&P 500 is actually entering the fourth quarter tomorrow with its biggest year-to-date gain in more than two decades, rallying nearly 19% so far this year. Joining me now to talk more about the third quarter and what the results mean for the end of the year is Wall Street Journal reporter Gunjan Banerjee. Gunjan, when we look at the major drivers of volatility in the third quarter, trade is a big one that comes to mind. Also, the Fed's moves to cut interest rates. How did we see that playing out?
It's been a really, really wild quarter for stocks, bonds, and even commodities. We've seen, some of the biggest moves in years. And Much of that has been driven by trade. We also saw the Federal Reserve cut interest rates for the first time in more than a decade, and investor expectations of their future moves continue to drive stocks throughout the quarter.
And the Fed's moves are in line with what we're seeing from other central banks globally, right?
Exactly. The Federal Reserve was just one of many central banks that cut rates in the third quarter of this year, and investors and analysts are expecting that to continue.
So what does all of this mean potentially for the fourth quarter? We still have many of those unknowns, including trade, looming.
Sure. You know, so the third quarter, it was a really wild ride, and I think many investors are expecting that to continue. Just in the next few weeks, we'll see corporate earnings released, and investors so far aren't too optimistic about what earnings results will show. We'll also see leaders from China and the U.S. meet, and tweets and news on trade have just had this huge potential to drive volatility markets during the day and throughout the third quarter. So we're expecting that to continue.
As we look ahead to earnings, are there any sectors that are outperforming others?
Over the past month, we've seen kind of this rotation go on in some of the sectors of the S&P 500. And for example, over the past month, energy stocks and financial stocks have outperformed the broader gauge. And they haven't done that over the past year or so. So many investors are looking to see if that can continue.
So as we embark on the fourth quarter, what else are you hearing from investors about potential concerns?
One big thing that's been on investors' minds is whether slowing economic growth in other parts of the world could trickle into the U.S. So people are really on high alarm for whether that can happen. You know, we saw these consumer spending figures last week, which were a little bit disappointing to investors, especially since so far the U.S. consumer has been a bright spot for our economy. So that's something investors are definitely keeping an eye on.
That's The Wall Street Journal's Gunjan Banerjee. Big news from WeWork on Monday. The shared office space company is pulling the plug on its initial public offering. The decision comes less than a week after CEO Adam Neumann stepped down from the company following questions over its corporate governance. Joining me now with more on what comes next is Wall Street Journal reporter Maureen Farrell. Maureen, let's quickly recap what the last week or so has entailed for WeWork.
It's hard to imagine, but about a week ago at this time, Adam Neumann, the CEO and co-founder, was considering stepping down. He was talking to his board, talking to Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JP Morgan, and wrestling with this decision. Since then, he has stepped down. He and his wife, Rebecca Neumann, who is the CEO of WeGrow, the elementary school that they founded where their children attend. She was also one of the co-founders and a chief brand officer. She's also stepped down. A lot of their friends and family members who worked at the company have too. About 20 people have been pushed out. And the company now, it had been assumed that they weren't going to go public. They named two insiders as co-CEOs. Now today, they officially said that they're not going public this year.
What do we know about the biggest challenges ahead right now?
It's hard to even kind of say what is the top challenge, but number one, they need cash. I mean, they need to figure out where they're going to get money from. They're not going public. Will they get money from SoftBank? Will they get more loans from banks? And what is their business model going to look like? What we've reported and what we've been hearing is that they're going to change. They've had a lot of these sort of ancillary businesses that were not part of the office leasing business. We understand that they're going to focus much more on their core business and try to write it and try to, you know, figure out a way that they can get to profitability. So, but we don't quite understand what that means. I mean, we've seen they've been on this huge growth trajectory. They've also seen their losses expand each year. So now they need to figure out what the business model looks like, especially if you're not consuming a huge amount of capital, which so far has been the only way they've been able to grow. What's it going to look like?
And we had been reporting in recent weeks that WeWork was slashing its valuation. Can you tell us roundabout how much money is the company losing?
Well, in terms of losses, I mean, they've almost doubled their revenue each year. And along the way, they've almost doubled their losses. So they've been losing billions. But they were last valued earlier in 2019 at $47 billion. They got new money in from SoftBank. By the time of, you know, the IPO, they were talking about less. Investors were saying very unlikely to give them anything more than $20 billion, so less than half, a valuation of less than $20 billion. So that would have been almost a third, really, were some of the numbers being batted around. But even that, it was hard to tell, you know, who was going to show up to this IPO. So we don't really know right now what the company's valuation could be. The one thing we do know is it's nowhere near $47 billion.
So, Maureen, could there still be an IPO on the table potentially sometime in the future?
I think that's still the goal. I mean, they've now said they're not going to do it in 2019, but it seems like it almost has to be the goal in 2020. Who knows, possibly later. But they do need money, and they've tapped a huge amount of investors in the private markets. I mean, not that they couldn't get more money in the private markets potentially, but at some point, a business like this needs to go public. And so I think that is the game plan. The question is, what's the business going to look like? And do they need – they know public investors didn't like what they saw when they went out meeting them over the last few weeks and months. So the question is, what do public investors want? What will they buy? What is this company going to look like? And there's a lot of that story to be written now.
Wall Street Journal reporter Maureen Farrell joining me in our studio in New York. Thank you so much, Maureen.
Thanks for having me.
And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.